بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the one who bestows mercy. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah. And may peace and blessings of Allah be upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon his wives, family and companions, and all those who follow the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam up until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In this lesson today, we come to the next chapter of the Qur'an, the 110th surah of the Qur'an, which is Surah An-Nasr, the chapter of An-Nasr. And the meaning of An-Nasr is victory. As all of you know, our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was born in Mecca, and after 40 years of living in Mecca, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him the revelation and he became a prophet. He became a prophet with the surah, Surah Al-Alaq. Iqra' bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Khalaq al-insana min alaq. Iqra' wa rabbuka al-akram alladhi 'allama bil qalam. So with this, Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, he became a prophet. But at this stage, he remained in his house and he only spoke to some of his very close family members regarding the revelation. Then after a short while, another surah was revealed. And this surah ordered the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to go out and publicize his da'wah and go and call the people in public. And this surah is Surah Al-Muddathir. Ya ayyuha al-muddathir, qum fa'anzir, wa rabbaka fakabbir, wa thiyabaka fatahir, wa rajza fahjur. Ya ayyuha al-muddathir, O the one who is wrapped up in a garment, qum fa'anzir. Stand up, arise, and go warn the people, i.e. in public. Wa rabbaka fakabbir, and exalt your Lord. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to go out to his tribe men and his relatives and warn them in public. وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ. Go and warn the members of your family. And when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam first received the revelation, اقرأ, Khatija radiallahu anha, his wife, Khatija bint Khuwaylid, she took the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to one of her relatives, her cousin called Warqat ibn Nawfal. And Warqat ibn Nawfal, he was a learned man from the Christians, but he was upon the true message of Isa alayhi salam and the true message of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And he was an old man and he was blind. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam went to him with Khatija, and Warqat ibn Nawfal said to him, Ya laytani kuntu jad'an in idh yukhrijuka qawmuka. That if only I was a young man when you're going to go and give the message to your people and they're going to throw you out of your lands. They're going to exile you from Mecca. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Awa mukhrijiyahum, that are they going to exile me? My tribe, my family, my relatives, they're going to throw me out of my lands, my home, just for giving them the message of Al-Islam, the message of Allah. And Warqat ibn Nawfal, he said, مَا جَاءَ أَحَدٌ بِمِثْلِ مَا جِئْتَ بِهِ إِلَّا وَأُوذِيَ وَعُوذِيَ. That nobody has ever come to the people before you with the same message that you have come with, except that he was harmed and tortured and punished, and he was made out to be an enemy. And this is how the da'wah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam started. And last week, the lesson that we taught and the surah that we went through, Tabbat yada abi lahabin wa tab, we spoke about how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when this ayah was revealed, wa anzir ashiratak al aqrabin, he went out to Mount As-Safa. And he called the tribesmen. And how then the Quraysh, they started harming and punishing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions. And many of the relatives of the companions, and many of the companions, or some of the companions, and some of the relatives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they passed away whilst the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was still in Mecca. And they were hurt and harmed and tortured. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was alone with a few weak people around him giving da'wah. To the extent that when the people used to go and pray in the morning, or when they wanted to meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they would go when it's very dark so nobody can see them. And they would return straight after Fajr, after dawn, where there's still a level of darkness and nobody can see them. And if you think to how Islam started back then, and only 1400 short years later that we are living, even in a non-Muslim country, and we're free, alhamdulillah. We're free to practice our Islam, we're free to pray as we want, dress as we want. And yet 1400 years ago, or over 1400 years ago, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam began his da'wah in this way, being oppressed and punished and exiled, and pressure and difficulties being put on them. And some of the companions, they left Mecca. They went to Al-Habasha, Abyssinia, because it was too difficult in Mecca for them. So they left Mecca and they went to Al-Habasha. And then they came back, and then some went once more. And the companions, they were waiting for permission from Allah and His Messenger to go make hijrah to Medina, because life in Mecca was becoming too difficult. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger permitted the companions to make hijrah to Al-Madina. And Allah mentioned the hijrah and those people who made hijrah in the Quran. He said, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَهَاجَرُوا وَجَاهَدُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ أَعْظَمُ دَرَجَةً عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَائِزُونَ. Indeed, those people who believed, had iman, وَهَاجَرُوا, and they made hijrah from Mecca to Medina, وَجَاهَدُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, and they fought in the way of Allah, بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ, sacrificing their wealth and sacrificing their lives, أَعْظَمُ دَرَجَةً عِنْدَ اللَّهِ, then they are of a great and high rank with Allah. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَائِزُونَ, and they are the true successful people. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions, when they were leaving Mecca and going to Medina, it wasn't something which was easy upon them. It wasn't that they were leaving Mecca out of choice, rather they were forced to leave Mecca. And there were rich people amongst them who became poor. Some of them left their families behind. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, as we studied last week, two of his daughters were married to the two sons of Abu Lahab. People left their property behind, their houses behind. They went to a faraway place that they didn't know, and they had no business, no income, no finance, and nothing. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was leaving Mecca, it's narrated that he went outside of Mecca and then he turned around and looked back at Mecca. And he said, Wallahi innaki la khayru ardillah. By Allah, you, O Mecca, you are the best place upon the earth. Wa ahabbu ardillah ilallah. And you are the most beloved of the lands of Allah to Allah. وَلَوْلَا أَنِّي مَا أُخْرِجْتُ لَمَا خَرَجْتُ. And if it wasn't that I was forced to leave Mecca, then I would never have left Mecca. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left Mecca alone with his friend Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and they moved to Al-Madinah. In Al-Madinah, they started building their lives once again. So their houses built once again, the masjid built once again, and their da'wah started, their tabligh started, their jihad in the way of Allah started. And they spent 10 years in Al-Madinah, 13 years the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spent as a prophet and a messenger in Mecca, being harmed and tortured and punished and oppressed. And then they moved to Medina and they spent 10 years in Al-Madinah. And no doubt the victory, Al-Nusra, Al-Nusratu lil-Haq, the victory is for the truth. And the victory is for Tawheed, and the victory is for the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Wal-Aqibatu lil-Muttaqeen, and the good final end is for the people of At-Taqwa. And this surah, Surah Al-Nasr, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ, then this is a short surah, a short chapter, which gives the believers, the Prophet and his companions, the glad tidings and the good news of the victory. And Nasr means the victory. That this victory, it is for the truth and the people of the truth. That this victory is for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and those people who aided and supported the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There's a difference of opinion amongst the Mufassirun regarding when this surah was revealed. إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ, when was it revealed? Some of the Mufassirun, some of the ulama, they said that this surah was revealed after Sulh al-Hudaybiyah, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam signed a treaties with the Quraysh in the 6th year of his hijrah from Mecca to Al-Madinah. And other Mufassirun, they said that this chapter, it was revealed at the time of Fath Mecca, when Mecca was conquered and the Prophet was victorious over Mecca. And this was in the 8th year of the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And some of the Mufassirun said that this chapter, Surah An-Nasr, it was revealed in Hajjatul Wida', in the final Hajj which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam made, and the farewell pilgrimage and the farewell sermon that he gave in the 10th year of the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this shows that all of the Mufassirun, they have agreed that this surah is Madani because it occurred after the Prophet moved from Mecca, and it occurred after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When this surah was revealed, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا, when this surah was revealed and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam recited this surah in front of the people, then the companions and all of the Muslims, they became very happy. Why? Because this surah, it promises and it gives the glad tidings to the Prophet and the believers who are with him of an-nasr, of victory, and fath Makkah. وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا, and you see many people entering into Islam in many numbers. So everybody became happy and they were excited with this glad tidings. However, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Al-Abbas, and also in another narration, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, they wept, they started crying. The people, the rest of the companions, when they saw Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu crying, the rest of the companions, when they saw Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu crying, they were astonished. They said, عجبا لهذا الشيخ, that how strange is this old man, I Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. أخبر الله عن النصر والفتح, that Allah has told us about the victory, and Allah has told us about the conquest of Mecca, and Allah is giving us the glad tidings that people are going to enter into the religion. And yet Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he is crying and he is weeping. So when they asked Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu that why are you weeping when Allah is giving us good news, he said, مَا بَعْدَ النَّصْرِ وَالْفَتْحِ إِلَّا الْمَوْتِ وَالنِّهَايَةِ, that the only thing which is left after the victory of Islam and after the conquest of Mecca and the victory of Mecca is the death. Meaning that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he's going to pass away. Why? Because the mission and the job for which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam came upon this earth is now finished. He was only sent to give a tabligh and to spread Islam everywhere. And now that victory to Islam has come and Islam is being spread everywhere and Mecca is being opened and the shirk is being removed, then there's nothing left for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam upon this earth. And for this reason, One of the names of this surah, one of the names is Surah An-Nasr. The other name of this surah is Surah At-Tawdi'ah. And the meaning of At-Tawdi'ah is farewell. It's as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an indication that now the victory for Islam is complete and the conquest of Makkah is complete and the people are entering into Islam, the Arabian Peninsula is entering into Islam. There's an indication that now your job has finished and your time upon this earth has finished. And as I mentioned at the beginning, if you remember that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he started his mission in Mecca only 10 years or longer before the revealing of this surah, and he was alone and he was oppressed, and he left Mecca and made hijrah only 8 or 9 or 10 years before the revelation of this surah. He left Mecca and he was alone with his friend, wandering the desert, hiding in this cave and behind this stone, behind these rocks, so that the Quraysh cannot find them. And only 8, 9, or 10 years after being lonely and leaving his home like this, leaving Mecca like this, then Allah promises him an-Nasr, victory. The victory is for the truth. And why is it that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam achieved this victory and this da'wah, and that people accepted him and that everybody submitted to his message? Because of as-sidq fi da'wah, being truthful and sincere in his da'wah, being truthful and sincere in calling to at-tawheed. And so Allah helped him and aided him with this victory. Allah said, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ, when the victory and the aid of Allah comes. Meaning, the victory of Allah will come, such a great victory that all of your enemies who you used to fear and you ran away from them and they were harming you and oppressing you, now these very enemies are now going to be fearing you. And they will now come to you, submitting themselves in front of you. Wal-Fath, when the victory of Allah comes, and Al-Fath. The meaning of Al-Fath is the conquest, the opening, meaning Fath Makkah, the conquest and the victory over Makkah. Allah said in the Quran, Inna fatahna alayka fathan mubina. Indeed, we have given you a great conquest, a clear conquest, i.e. the conquest of Makkah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he conquered Makkah in the 8th year of his hijrah. So 8 years after his hijrah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam went back to Mecca and he conquered Mecca. And it was towards the end of Ramadan. How did the conquest of Mecca actually occur? In the 6th year of the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Prophet wanted to come into Mecca in order to make Umrah with his companions. And whilst on his way, he stopped at a place called Hudaybiyah. And the Quraysh, they came to him and they prevented him and his companions from entering into Mecca. They said, you cannot enter into Mecca and you cannot perform Umrah. And here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam remained and negotiated with the Quraysh, and they signed a treaty between each other, a treaty of peace, whereby the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam next year will be able to enter into Mecca with various conditions and stipulations upon the Prophet and also upon the Quraysh. However, the Quraysh, they were treacherous and they failed to fulfill the conditions and the stipulations of this sulh, this treaties between the Quraysh and between the Muslims. So when they went against the conditions, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam came and he brought out an army against them. And it's narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he left Al-Madinah with 10,000 soldiers. In the 8th year of the hijrah, in the 8th year of hijrah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam left Al-Madina with 10,000 people, 10,000 men ready to go and conquer Mecca. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he entered into Mecca on the 20th day of Ramadan. The 20th day of Ramadan, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam entered into Mecca. The Quraysh, they weren't expecting that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam with 10,000 soldiers or 10,000 people is going to come to Mecca in order to conquer Mecca. So it was something which was sudden and unexpected. And what could the Quraysh do when there are 10,000 people coming into Mecca? So like this, without any fighting, in Mecca, Mecca was conquered. And the Quraysh and the chieftains, or the heads and the chiefs of the Quraysh, they went to the Kaaba. And there they waited for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And they surrounded the Kaaba. And they knew that now they had been defeated. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he went to the Kaaba along with his army, and the Quraysh are there. And he said to them, Ya ma'ashara Quraysh, O congregation of Quraysh, ma tadhunnuna anni fa'ilun bikum, what do you think that I am now going to do to you? Remember, these were the people who had killed and oppressed and exiled the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and oppressed and tortured and killed his companions, and drove them to Abyssinia, drove them to Al-Madina. And now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has come with 10,000 people with him, and the Quraysh are very few. So he said, Ya ma'ashara Quraysh, O congregation of Quraysh, ماذا تظنون أني فاعل بكم, what do you think now that I'm going to do to you? And the Quraysh, they said, خيراً, we think that you're only going to do something which is good. Why? أخٌ كريم ابن أخٍ كريم, because you're a good kind brother to us, the son of a good kind brother. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, إني أقول لكم كما قال يوسف لإخوته, that I'm only going to say to you that which Yusuf alayhi salam said to his brothers, لا تثريب عليكم اليوم, that today there is no blame upon you. يغفر الله لكم, and may Allah forgive you. And then he said to them, اذهبوا فإنكم طلقاء, that leave, you are free to go. You are free to go. There's no punishment. There's no oppression upon you. You are free to go. And this is how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his mercy conquered Mecca and conquered the whole of the Arabian Peninsula. Allah said, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ, when the victory of Allah comes and al-fatih, and the conquest of Mecca. وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا, and you see the people entering into Islam, afwaja, entering into the religion in many numbers, large numbers, in armies they are entering into Islam. And this was a glad tiding that Allah gave to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that previously, for the past years, people have been entering into Islam individually, and a small number here, a small group here, one or two here, and they're entering into Islam and they're scared and they're fearful, to the extent that some of the people wanted to enter into Islam, but they were too scared what their tribes were going to do to them, so they didn't enter into Islam. But now the glad tiding is for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسِ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا, that now you're going to see people entering into Islam in their droves, in their large numbers. Tribes are going to come, and tribes, all of them at one time, they are going to enter into Al-Islam. And the ninth year of the Hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was called عَامُ الْوُفُودِ, the year in which many delegations came to the Prophet. In this year, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was in Medina, tribes and representatives and delegations from all over the Arabian Peninsula, they would come into Medina. The greatest of leaders and the chiefs of the tribes and anybody with authority and the rich people, all of them would be coming into Al-Medina, and they would be accepting Islam at the hands of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In this year, Aam al-Wufud, the ninth year of the Hijrah, the year of the delegations, many tribes and many delegations came. So there was Wafdul Yamama, the delegation from Al-Yamama. And a group of people came from Al-Yamama, and these group of people, they were representing 100,000 members of their delegation and their tribe. And they said that, oh, every single one of us, 100,000 people in Al-Yamama, we are all ready to accept Islam. And from these 100,000 people, there was only one person amongst them who refused to accept Islam. And he was Musaylima Al-Kadhab. This person called Musaylima, who after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam died, he then claimed that he was the Prophet. And other tribes and other delegations came. Wafd Bani Tamim, Wafd Najran, Wafd Bani Sa'd. These were names of various tribes and delegations that came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the 9th year of the Hijrah, Aam al-Wufud, in the year of the delegations. And this was this prophecy being completed. وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. You see the people entering into Islam in large numbers. 100,000 people at a single time being represented that they are entering into Islam. So these two ayat, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا, then this was a glad tiding and a good news and a promise to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the victory is coming and the conquest is coming and the victory for Islam and people entering into Islam, it is coming. And no doubt this is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because if this is an-nasr, then the nasir, he is Allah. The an-nasir, the one who gives the victory, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a ni'mah from Allah. And Allah said in the Quran, وَمَن نَصْرُ إِلَّا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ, that there is no victory except that it is from Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ, because Allah is Al-Aziz and Al-Hakim. So Allah said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when the victory comes to you, and when Makkah is conquered, and when you see people entering into Islam in their large numbers, then return to your Lord and glorify your Lord and praise your Lord. Allah said, فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ. Make tasbih of Allah, meaning glorify Allah, subhanallah, and make tahmid, praise Allah, وَاسْتَغْفِرْ, and seek forgiveness from Him. Now, if you look at the context of this surah, Allah mentioned these great blessings, victory and the conquest of Makkah and Islam gaining authority, people entering into Islam, and this is a blessing from Allah. What is expected is that after Allah has said this, He's going to say to the Prophet, Washkurullah, show shukr to Allah. Because this is what you would normally say. If somebody has blessed you with something, then the next thing that you say is, now show shukr to the one who has blessed you. But here, Allah Azza wa Jalla, He didn't order the Prophet to show shukr, to show gratitude and thanks. Rather, He ordered him to do something which is unexpected, make tasbih and tahmid and istighfar. So why didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell His Prophet to make shukr, and instead He told His Prophet to make tasbih and tahmid? And the reason behind this, the wisdom behind this is that it is as if Allah is saying that when the victory has come to you and the conquest of Makkah has come to you and you see people entering into Islam, then your time upon this earth, it is complete and it has come to an end. And your job and your mission upon this earth, you have fulfilled it. And your responsibility and trust, you have conveyed it. And the message of Allah, you have conveyed it to the people. And therefore, there is no more time for you left upon this dunya. And you are towards the end of your life. And this abode isn't your abode. Rather, your abode is a hereafter. And then, after this, Allah said, فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ. So, make tasbih of Allah. Glorify Allah. And mention His praises and seek forgiveness from Him. Three things in this ayah have been mentioned. At-tasbih and alhamd and istighfar. And these three things, we always say them. We always say subhanallah, we always say alhamdulillah, and we always say astaghfirullah. But we need to know the meanings of at-tasbih and at-tahmid and al-istighfar. The meaning of at-tasbih, subhanallah, is tanzihullahi an kulli naqsin wa'ib, is that you are glorifying Allah and you are freeing Allah from any deficiency or any weakness. So when we say Subhanallah, what we're actually saying is how great and glorious is Allah, that He has no weakness and no deficiency. This is the meaning of Subhanallah. And when we say Alhamdulillah, then the meaning of Alhamdulillah is Wasful Mahmoodi Bil Kamal Mahabbatan Wa Ta'zeema, is that you are describing and praising Allah with perfection. Every aspect of perfection, it is for Allah. Every praise of perfection, of kamal, it is only for Allah. And you do this, muhabbatan wa ta'zeema, out of your love of Allah, and out of you exalting and honoring Allah Azza wa Jal. And the meaning of al-istighfar, seeking forgiveness, is that you are asking Allah to conceal your sins, and hide your sins, and protect you from the punishment that you deserve of your sins. إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. He is the one who is التواب, meaning he accepts so much repentance from so many sinners. And Umm al-Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha, she said that when this ayah was revealed, فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ, when this ayah was revealed, after this ayah was revealed, then in the ruku' of the Prophet and the sujood, he used to always say, سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ اللَّهُمَّ اغْفِرْنِي. So this is a dua that we should be saying in our ruku' and our sujood. And the Prophet ﷺ used to say this, سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ اللَّهُمَّ اغْفِرْنِي. سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ, O Allah, You are glorified from every imperfection and deficiency and weakness. وَبِحَمْدِكَ, and with your perfect praises, out of love and exaltation. اللهم اغفر لي, O Allah, forgive me. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this is the only dua, اللهم اغفر لي, that he used to make in his ruku'. And it is not permitted, or it is not from the sunnah that you make dua in your ruku'. This is not from the sunnah. The sunnah is that you make your dua in your sujood. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, وَأَمَّا الرُّكُوعُ فَسَبِّحُوا فِيهِ الرَّبِّ, that as for the ruku', then glorify Allah. Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. And like this, you glorify Allah. وَأَمَّا السُّجُودَ, and as for sujood, then this is the place of a dua. So in implementing this ayah, فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ, in our ruku' and our sujood, we do as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did. We increase in our supplication, Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, Allahumma ghfirli. And this is the end of Surah An-Nasr, and Allah knows best. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam.